Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March the 18th. Coming up, how businesses in a part of Rainham have been boosted by the arrival of a new store, plus hear from the Gillingham head coach after their draw at the weekend. But first, we start with our most read story on the website today. And two brothers who've bought a holiday park on Sheppey say they want to give back to the community. Bernard and John Saunders purchased Eden Leisure Park for £3 million and are now in the process of spending £400,000 on the site. The holiday park is based on Warden Road in Eastchurch, and the pair aim to create jobs and a higher standard tourist destination. They both grew up in Rainham and spent a lot of time in nearby Sittingbourne and Sheppey as children. Well, Bernard, firstly, has been speaking to reporter Megan Carr.
The thing is, for us, we're not greedy park operators. We haven't come in here and put our site fees up and up and up like other operators do in the industry. We've come in here with the view of moving forward, making sure all residents are happy on park, they're in a good place, and we want to invest in the local community, such as local businesses and stuff like that. We want to give back. It's not about us coming in here, putting our site fees up, being greedy park operators, and moving on and taking people's money. We want to give back to the local community, give back to the local businesses. We want to sponsor some of them, such as the local rugby club and stuff like that. We're yet to go down there. And we want to build a relationship with Swale Borough Council and giving back to the locals within the area.
Perfect. Another thing that you mentioned earlier to me was obviously this side of Sheppey is a bit more run down, and obviously you've got the Levelling Up Fund in Sheerness, but it's a bit like Eastchurch and Laysdown, and this sort of area has been forgotten about.
Yes.
How do you feel about that, and how do you want to sort of change that? You want to bring tourism back to the area,
don't Listen, we want to build the local community up. We want to invest in the roads, the potholes and stuff like that. We want to basically give back to local businesses. We want to help local businesses. We, as me and my brother said earlier, we want to have a chat to Swale Borough Council, we want to have a chat to the local mayor, and we want those to come forward and help us provide for the locals who need it.
And obviously, you said a little bit about how much you're sort of investing in this.
Well, basically, what we want to do, we want to make sure that our residents' minds are at ease. They know it's a family-run park. They know that they can come here on holiday, get away from the 9-to-5 job, and come here, spend a couple of months here, go back to the house, and have a beautiful holiday. Our plan is moving forward. Okay, we have spent on this park, purchasing it, over £3 million. But our plans moving forward is basically just making sure our residents are happy. Other parks on the Isle of Sheppey would have gone into administration. We want to purchase because we've got the ready funds available, okay? And we want to put other residents on other parks' minds at ease, knowing that they're dealing with a family-run operator, and basically their minds at ease. They know that they haven't got a hand up their holiday home because the park's gone into administration and stuff like that.
Now, John says the island has suffered from a bit of a bad reputation in the past, but they're going to try and turn things around.
Well, the core of the problem seems to be, I mean, as you say, it's getting a lot of stick. It's not getting the attention it deserves. Now, we don't intend on wrapping our arms around the full island and bringing it up to where it needs to be. But what we are planning on doing is giving it as much of a lift as we can as possible. Offering jobs out, sponsoring charities, etc., etc. I mean, of course, the more we expand our business, the more jobs we'll be able to offer. We've been brought up around the Sheppey town. I mean, we were raised just over at Sittingbourne. The opportunity arisen, of course, and with the stigma that's in the island at the moment, with a lot of parks going into administration as such, we thought what better opportunity than to grab hold of it and try and give it the lift that it needs. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of parks gone into administration, so of course our intention is to try and take that bad stigma away from holidaymakers at the moment and give people a peace of mind that they deserve.
And you can see pictures of the pair and of the site by heading to the story on Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a man's been arrested after an unknown substance was thrown over police in Maidstone. The officers were responding to reports of someone damaging property at a block of flats in Knight Rider Street on Sunday. The victims were treated at the scene by hazardous response paramedics, and the suspect was taken into custody. Kent Online reporter Sean McPolin has been at the scene.
I'm in Knight Rider Street in Maidstone, where things seem to be a lot calmer than they were last night. After the road was shut in both directions at around 5:30 p.m. Police were called to reports a man was damaging the Lily Smith house block of flats in the road, and that's when allegedly four police officers had an unknown substance thrown at them. and one man has been arrested and is still in custody. At the minute, there's only one police car outside the block of flats.
A Gillingham woman who carried on claiming benefits despite inheriting £400,000 has avoided being sent to prison. Amber Marshall received more than £10,000 in universal credit and housing benefits she wasn't entitled to. The 47-year-old from Jay's Road has been given a community order and told to do 120 hours of unpaid work. A man who stole hundreds of coins from an arcade game at a holiday park in Kent has avoided also being sent to prison. Robert Barton revealed he targeted the machine at the new beach site in Dymchurch because he knew the locks would be easy to break. The 41-year-old from Woolworth in London has been placed on a six-month curfew. Now, the family of a Chatham mum who collapsed at work say her colleagues' quick actions probably saved her life. Amy Hodgson started complaining of a headache shortly after arriving at Brasher's law firm. She was put in the recovery position after falling to the floor. The mum of three had suffered a brain hemorrhage and is now in hospital. Brother-in-law John Hodgson says friends have also been raising funds for the family.
Danny is a plumber by trade, and obviously now with him being able to, well, not being able to go to work, it's a case of him sort of going back and forth between the hospital and the kids. So that money that we've got and we've been able to generate so far for the donations that everyone has so kindly been able to do, specifically during this this climate at the moment as well, we'll be able to go to mainly keeping the roof above their heads, you know, help out with all the bills, and also I would like probably like to say, and I think we're also having many fingers crossed here, where any sort of adjustments that the house may not need, we're going to obviously try and use that money for that as well. You know, with the bleed to the brain, it can be effective both physically as well, as well as mentally. So we're going to hope and pray that that's not the case. But of course, any of those donations, anything that we would need to help aid the rehabilitations of Amy is probably key. I think for the kids in particular, they're missing her like crazy. Amy and Danny, well, the whole family themselves are such a close-knit group. They're with each other 24/7. So the youngest, Albert, who's six, he's just trying to find it. He's finding it hard at the moment to grasp the time. You know, he keeps on asking when, and also all of the machinery when he was there. He wanted to know what and why, and why does that go there? So he's finding it hard. He was definitely Amy's little mini me. So he's missing his best friend at the minute terribly. Donnie is being your typical 13-year-old boy, where he's closing himself off, maybe burying his head in the sand a little bit, but at the same time, he knows it's there. He's just finding it very hard to see and sort of comprehend, you know, what has happened to their family. And Layla, bless her, again, Amy's her best friend, and so she's sort of taking on the mum role and doing brilliantly at the same time. And she's really trying her hardest to sort of help out the family and, yeah, becoming an adult probably a little bit too early. It's the family at the moment is upside down, and it's just trying to get everyone all together to try and help out as much as possible for the family. Not just them, but also the people around us as well. I can't thank everyone enough.
Kent Online reports.
Developers have been given the green light to build nearly 400 homes in Ashford. They'll be built on the Eureka Business Park in Kennington on the Trinity Lakes estate. 30% of the new properties will be affordable housing. Meantime, developers are hoping to increase the number of homes planned for land in Herne Bay, saying it'll help the local authority hit housing targets. 160 properties were already due to be built off Bullockstone Road, and there are calls for that to be upped to 176. Builders say it won't reduce the amount of green space, space as they've redesigned existing properties to make them smaller. Work on a new £40 million carriageway in Canterbury is on course to start next year. The Story Link Road is designed to remove the need for traffic on the A28 and A21 to cross the level crossing at Story. Construction is due to wrap up in 2026. Now, there are calls for drainage in parts of Horling to be improved after a road was left flooded. Drivers using Pilgrims Road say their cars have been swamped by water that doesn't clear even when it stops raining. Andy Tebbutt lives there and he's been speaking to reporter Joe Crossley.
At the moment, my house rates are £3,500 a year and I can't turn right out of my road, out of my drive, to use this half of the road because it's too flooded. It's unacceptable as a road for the state of it to get like this. There's no maintenance whatsoever. I've contacted the council and been informed by them they can't afford to fix it, so it's not going to be fixed. It's been like this now for 2 to 4 years, and every time it rains it gets worse and worse. We could have a dry period for probably up to 2 weeks and it would still be flooded.
And I'm guessing what you'd like to happen is for the road to be repaved, or is it drainage that needs to happen?
I think it's drainage and the road needs raising.
The water, where, I know you said it's rainwater, where's it all come from?
Off of the farm over there. But when we first moved up here years ago, it didn't used to happen.
You can see footage if you head to Kent Online, and Medway Council have declined to comment. Meantime, people living in a village near Dover say temporary fixes to the roads aren't working and potholes are still damaging cars. Earlier this year, you might have heard on an episode that residents in West Hoffham were demanding action after counting 90 craters. Well, the County Council say further repairs are being carried out. Drainage is also being fixed.
Kent Online reports.
It's been confirmed the Winter Gardens in Margate will be getting £4 million to try and bring the venue back into use. The building's been empty since August 2022 after the company running it suffered financial losses and handed the lease back to the council. The new funding was originally destined for Dreamland, but they turned it down. The owner of a small local business in Deal says he's worried it won't survive following a break-in. Around £15,000 worth of goods was stolen from Prism Technology and Beauchamp Avenue in the early hours of Saturday. The shop is still open for now, but may have to close temporarily to fix the damage. A vet in Herne Bay has come under fire over its decision to go cashless. Bosses at Broadway say they're just moving with the times and taking cash payments was costing them more in the long run. Clients have said they'll find somewhere else to take their pets and say no cash, no custom. I'd like to know what you think. This is something that has caused debate on the website in the past. You can leave a comment on the story at Kent Online. Elsewhere, businesses in Raynham say trade has been significantly boosted since B&M arrived in the town. The discount brand has taken over the site in the precinct left vacant when Wilko closed. Nearby traders say it's already had a positive impact with more shoppers in the area. Well, reporter Ellie Hodgson has been down to the precinct. She first spoke to Kelly Sharp, who's a B&M employee, and Dawn Crouch, who's a customer.
It has been hectic, but brilliant. Everybody is so lovely. Customers are so lovely. It's been great.
Were you here on opening day?
I was, yes.
And tell me, what was that?
Manic. It's been manic since we opened, from 8 o'clock in the morning. It's been chaos.
And what do you think it's been like for the shopping centre?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. The car parks are full. No, it's all good. Yeah, it's brilliant.
So it's
I'm loving it.
Reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is great.
I'm very pleased that there's a shop here again. It was very sad when Wilkinson's closed. And I'm very impressed with B&M. I only went in to have a browse. £34 later, I've come out with some impulse buys and some bargains.
And do you think it's good for the community to have a store like this
here? Absolutely, yes. It encourages more people to come to the precinct. Good for business all around.
And will you be going to any of the other shops today?
Yes, I am. I'm going to Tesco's to do a bit of shopping. I've already been in the cake shop, get there early. So yes, I'll be going into a few other shops.
Last question, has the parking been okay since B&M's opened? Has it been busier in that respect?
It's been a little bit busier. but there's still plenty of places to park.
And plans have been put in to convert a former pub in Gravesend into a community centre and house of multiple occupancy. The Peacock closed on New Year's Day and now a charity wants to change its use. El Hack Academy provides a food bank, counselling, prayer sessions and a youth club, but say their current base is no longer big enough.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham are still outside of the League Two playoff places following a draw at the weekend. It finished 1-1 against Grimsby Town with George Lapsley getting the equaliser at Priestfield. Head coach Stephen Clements was disappointed his team didn't take home all 3 points.
I think the group of lads we've got downstairs will go and take anybody on. But when we get our chances, we've got to make sure we put them in the net. And we're going to be successful this year. That's what we'll have to do between now and the end of the season. If we don't put the ball in the back of the net, I think we'll always be in the games. But we won't finish where we want to finish because for that reason. I mean, the boys stand up to most things that come their way. But we have got to sort out our Achilles heel, which is going the other way. And let me reiterate, that's not just the players at the top end of the pitch. Chances have fallen to different people. Over the last number of games, and we haven't taken enough of them.
Well, there are 7 games of the season to go. The Gills are 9th in the table, 1 point off the top 7. And finally today, a disability campaigner has unveiled a new powerboat in Dover, which he'll use to try and sail around the entire coast of the UK. Jeff Holt was left paralysed after an accident when he was 18 and is now raising money to improve disabled people's access to the sea. The boat has been specially adapted, but he says the 1,500-mile journey will be tough. He's been speaking to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
My love for the sea started when I was a young lad. I was very fortunate to go on the water with my parents. And it was my career before I had an accident 40 years ago that put me in a wheelchair. So I've always kind of had this affinity with the water. And the more you do it, and the more you see other people doing it, you're right, it's not for everyone. But the vast majority of people we take out, the one thing that does happen is they forget about their disability and they start to just have fun and enjoy the environment. And, you know, it is a different environment out here, different sights, smells, sounds. And for some people that is really, it's really quite empowering and inspiring. And we can actually see a change in people. You know, they become a lot more relaxed and we talk about people's health and well-being. And I'm absolutely committed to getting more disabled people on the water.
What is the biggest challenge for you is it 3 or 4 months it'll take you?
It's going to take 6 weeks, but I don't know what the weather's going to do, of course. It's the physicality. I mean, without doubt, there's a huge amount. They often say 80% is getting to the start line, and sure enough, it's been a challenge. We still don't have all our sponsors yet. We still have to find some more sponsorship to get it funded properly. So 80% of it is getting to the start line. A huge amount of work has gone into the boat and planning. But once the trip starts, there's two real things, really. There's the physicality. You know, I'm older than I was all those years ago. I'll be 60 in a couple of years. And my body's not quite as fit and as healthy as it used to be. And this is a big, fast boat. You know, a lot of movement. Planning, navigation is an issue. Getting it right. Avoiding dangers and hazards. Whilst all the time remembering to enjoy it. That's the thing. I'm remembering why we're doing it and remembering to enjoy it and to take in, you know, like I say, the sights and sounds, and it's going to be a great journey.
Jeff is due to set off in May. We're told the journey should take him up to 6 weeks. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.